Guys, welcome back to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do every Monday, talking to all the folks doing cool things. They're on tour, they're making music, they're making a difference, they're using their voice for good. And today we have one of those people, a multiple Grammy nominee. He's dabbling in and getting into the acting. He's been selling records for years, has another one out like just now, like just a minute ago. Crooner, we call you that, the king, right? Raheem Devon joins us. How are you?
Peace, man. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing well. I appreciate it. I hesitated because I know you've been the underground king for a minute. Yeah. Then the love king. So we just go king?
Yeah, hey, we can go with that.
I appreciate you taking the time. On The Pulse, we just kind of talk about backgrounds, talk about all the things that are going on. It's interesting how you even got started. So take us back. You come from a musical family.
Yeah, I do. My father, late great cellist Abdul Wadud. In fact, we just released an album of his only solo album, which came out in 70, oh man, and I was 2 years, 77,
okay.
It's a re-release of the album on vinyl, and it's available everywhere digitally. It's called By Myself. That just dropped on his birthday, April 30th, which is just, you know, this past Sunday. So yeah, you know, definitely dad, you know, having the musical influence and me following his footsteps per se. You know, being a vocalist, being a songwriter, you know, being in the game.
And your cousin is also in the industry. I'm sitting there reading. Did I read that wrong? Like, you have a cousin who also is out there making hits.
Yeah, you might be speaking on Chrisette Michelle.
Yes.
We're still trying to confirm that. You know, still trying to confirm it. Based on the conversation that our parents had, yeah, it's very likely that we are related. Yeah.
Yes, that's why you don't get your background information from Wikipedia. All right, yeah. So might be, might be a family member. And so because of that, growing up in the business and seeing your father, you got into this at a pretty young age. They're saying when you were just a child, you knew you wanted to do music.
Yeah, I've had the itch prices, man. I'd probably say like 84, Motown 25, I believe it was. You know, always been curious about music and different and fascinated with certain artists like Bob Marley and, you know, Marvin Gaye, Prince, just to name a few, you know, who all had huge influences over my career, you know, not just on the side of making like intimate music, love songs, records that speak to intimacy, but also, you know, from a socially conscious, being socially aware standpoint as well.
So there was all of that influence as a child, your father, all of those great names. When did you know that you wanted to do it yourself?
I think I knew back then, you know, I think it was the real question was how to figure out connecting the dots to, you know, to see it manifest. And, you know, as I got older, it was something I really pursued and took very seriously. And, you know, back in the early 2000s is when it really started, the doors started to really open up for me. You know, I started to kick the doors open. I'd rather say, you know, being part of two different groups locally here in the Washington, D.C. area, Urban at 31 and the Crossroads, and then, and, you know, morphing into becoming a solo artist. And, you know, back in 2002, I did my first deal with Jive Records. And the first album, The Love Experience, my solo project, came out in 2005. And it's really been, you know, moving at the speed of light since then.
But it's always been, again, doing research, it sounds like you've always been that person. Once you decided to do it, you kind of took ownership of it. You did whatever you had to do. And I guess I'm trying to dig for people who want to be inspired by your story. You just refused to not succeed, kicking down doors, doing independent stuff, whatever it took.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, the only option was no options. You know what I mean? So I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a plan B or plan C. You know, I was dead set on, you know, this is something I want to do. This is something that not only that I want to do, that I'm going to do, you know. And I think it takes a different type of discipline and faith system. You know, it takes knowing who you are and knowing what you want to do versus believing it. You know what I mean? It's belief versus knowing, you know what I mean? And when you unequivocally like know that this is something you want to do, you know, it's really just kind of like figuring out the how and the why, you know, sometimes you ask yourself the why as well. You know, I think that's really important. You know, that's where things like, you know, morals and integrity and things of that nature come into play. You know, the why is very important too. And you know, I think because of that, I've been able to withstand and, you know, have the staying power that I had.
Yeah. What was your why?
The simply the passion of something that I love to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you love it, it's not really considered work. You know, mm-hmm. You know, there may be stressful times. You know, I do believe there's a such thing as like good stress. You know, where you challenge yourself to greatness. You set new goals for yourself. You know, you there's always going to be obstacles. You know, you hurdle roads, and you navigate around it. And you got to also be able to adapt to whatever, you know, comes your way.
So you went through the process. You did the underground scene in Washington, D.C. I was fascinated by that because I went to school in D.C. It was around that time. I was at G-Dub. I read about you at working at Tower Records or something like that. And I remember being in the Tower Records on D.C.'s campus and, you know, people who were out there grinding and hitting the club scene. So doing the work, when did it become okay? I'm putting in the time, I'm putting in the grind. People are now starting to realize that I actually want to have a career in this.
You know, even when I was working at Tower Records, you know, I had independent music out at the time, you know, that I would like kind of direct people to, and they would say like, hey, let's do this out. I said, you need to check out this group, Urban App 31, which I happen to be part of, you know. So, you know, definitely having multiple hustles. You know, being at Tower was so dope because I was right where I wanted to be, but on the other side of it, where I could see, you know, and get an understanding and a grasp for the consumer aspect of it. You know what I mean? Who buys the music? How they buy it? You know, why they buy it? You know, who they buy it for? You know, so it's, you know, and then it kind of made me a little more just a student of it and just, you know, opening me up to different genres of music, different artists, and things of that nature. You know, I think it definitely helped. You know, and then it's really take, you know, getting to a point where I jumped off the porch and just decided that this is something I'm gonna do, you know, full time, and at time being the starving artist. You know, shout out to Genuine and you know, my previous managers Cliff and Jerry Vines. Cliff Jones and Jerry Vines, who were very instrumental in making it possible for me to go out on the road with Genuine as a background singer, you know. So that was my first introduction to the industry and being able to, you know, move around the world, you know, at the height of Genuine's career, you know, and to be a fly on the wall and see the things that he had to deal with day in, day out. As a, you know, just mega recording, you know, just the superstar artist, R&B artist, you know. So, you know, that's kind of like boot camp for me as well.
Have you seen, and you talked about the days at Tower and touring and Genuine and kind of putting in the work. Have you seen the industry change? Because it seems like you don't have to do it like that anymore.
Tremendously. Now, you do, you know. You have to work, you know, it definitely is about working, you know, smarter, not harder, through the process of it and the trial and error of it. But there's still, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. I think now, because everything is so accessible and we live in what I call the microwave era, you know what I mean? People want things now, they want it quick, you know, and it's so easy to be discarded. You can easily be a needle in the haystack or you know, an artist that can kind of be forgotten about, you know, to a certain extent, you know. You know, I've always moved by the philosophy that you're as great as the last record that you record. You know, you're great as your last performance, TV performance, what have you. You know, all these things are very important to the existence of not only myself as an artist, but to the culture. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about preserving the culture of R&B, preserving the culture of soul music, preserving, you know, we're at the 50-year mark of hip hop, which has played a huge influence on culture as a whole, including R&B and soul music. I know it's played a major role for me, you know, as an artist, you know, in the way that I deliver it, you know, and artists who I've been, you know, compared to in terms of the way that my recording process and the way that I make the records, you know, so it, at the end of the day, you know, this is about preserving something that's way bigger than me and just in real time doing it effortlessly because I enjoy it. And I've, you know, and over a period of time, I've become a master of the craft of it, you know?
But it sounds like, and your music makes it clear that the message and the things that you are doing, this matters to you. Like you've had and experienced commercial success and continue to have commercial success. But am I wrong in saying that that doesn't sound like it was the thing that ultimately was driving you, like the message and the passion?
Yeah. I mean, like the commercial success is cool, you know, but I think it's easier to digest for the consumers. I feel like the consumers are like, you know, they're like the, you know, they're like the dogs that, you know, are on the opposite side of the fence when the mailman's coming. Like they can sense the fear, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I think it's about the authenticity of it, you know what I'm saying? And just being authentic. And, you know, when it's authentic, it cuts through. When it's not, you know, something that is contrived, it usually unveils itself, you know? I do have a formula to what I do, but I don't go in the studio with the intention of saying like, I'm going to make a radio record. You know what I mean? There's a formula that I have and it's, you know, and I typically know when I got one though, you know, I know when I had that hit, you know?
You know it. Because of the formula, or you just have that kind of ear, you're like, all right, this is the one.
I think it's an ear thing. It's a feeling thing. You just know. It's like when you know, you know, you know?
Did they try? We've had a lot of people. Kenny Lattimore was on. Jazzy Jeff was here not too long ago. Keith Washington. I'm trying to think of some of the people who were here. And they all tell stories about at some point in their career, somebody tried to just overhaul them to push them towards commercial success. That doesn't sound like that would have worked with you. Like you've got a formula, you've got a plan. I'm going to do what I believe in and I'm passionate in. But did the industry try to change you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing of this, like, knowledge yourself and know who you are. You know, I think whatever the profession it that you're embarking on, it's important to, you know, stay solidly rooted in, you know, your spirituality, you know, your morals, you know, and being honest with yourself in terms of what you want out of it, you know, understanding that, you know, in this game or any game, in the game of life, in order to have some things you never had, you got to do some things you never done. What are you willing to do? You know, what sacrifices are you willing to make? In your diet, your regiment, your health, to win that championship, to get that fourth, that sixth, that seventh ring, you know? And then there's the fact of fate and luck and all these different theories, you know, but it really boils down to the fact that we all have a special gift and being able to identify what that gift is early. You know, if you're a parent, you know, being able to identify that gift in your child and being supportive of them, you know, in that manner. And, you know, and then utilizing the tools that you pick up along the way to maintain these things, or, you know, again, when you hit forks in the road and challenges, to navigate around them.
How do you define yourself? I mean, obviously you're a performer. We talked about the different king. You've used your voice as an activist and your music as an activist. You're doing some of the acting as well. What do you want people to know you for?
Oh man, I want to be known as that Renaissance R&B soul artist, you know, the blueprint for a lot of different things from, you know, I think I have a very distinct sound, you know. Definitely embarking, you know, into acting and, you know, wearing new hats and trying new things. You know, I think it's about growth and development as well. And, you know, I could, again, in the words of like Jazzy Jeff, who's a close friend and also a mentor over the years, you know, I've learned that, you know, people's perception of you matters, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's kind of calling me as a blueprint for a lot as well. Yeah, you know, but also understanding that it's not about who always does it first, it's about who does it best, you know?
Okay.
So at this point, it's about doing the best and giving my all and, you know, and challenging myself, you know?
The smooth voice, the message, the love, the empowering women and what have you, and a lot of your stuff. But in the last, I don't even know if it's new, because I feel like you've been doing this for a lot of your career, but you've gotten involved with Get Out the Vote initiatives. You've gotten involved with activism. We're going to talk about your nonprofit. Why is it so important that you're using your voice in that way as well?
You know, I started the Love Life Foundation, some time ago, a few years back, after, you know, receiving a key to the city, a proclamation in my name. Actually, on my birthday, Raheem Devon Day is coming up. Ironically, my birthday is, you know, this Friday, May 5th. And at the time, you know, receiving that accolade so early in my career, I wouldn't say that I necessarily felt like it was prematurely given to me, I challenged myself to say, okay, you know, for a city that's given me so much and given me so much love and support, you know, and a world, you know, really that has supported me globally as an artist, like, you know, what am I going to give back? How do I pour back into those that have poured back into me? You know, and I think that, you know, community is a big part of that. So, you know, mobilizing and creating Love Life Foundation out of the D.C. area, we've done a multitude of things, you know, to date. From, you know, advocating and fighting and bringing more awareness to domestic violence amongst teens and, you know, just in that workspace, in that sector as a whole to fight that, you know, feeding the homeless and those that are displaced, the textbook scholarship fund, we sent multiple students off to college for the first year of college, you know, supporting them with books and supplies, something that might seem so simple and minute that, you know, a lot of students have a hard time, you know, getting their hands on for the first year of college, you know, yet alone tuition and all these other things that they have to worry about, room and board. So we figure we lighten the load with the textbook scholarship fund. We now have, you know, students who we helped, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago that are now, you know, active and doing wonderful things, you know, globally. And, you know, anything related to community, like, just try to support. We're definitely in a rebuilding stage right now. I think COVID kind of really shook everything up and everybody had to kind of like reset, reboot. And so we're kind of still coming out of that and transitioning out of that. But yeah, you know, even down to like, you know, over the holidays and Christmas holidays and whatnot, it's kind of lightening the load for families in need. You know, we would do what's called the annual holiday charity concert, where I bring in various artists to perform and stuff of that nature. So it definitely, you know, being part of community gives me another hat to wear, other than just being the guy that you see this, you know, wowing the ladies or on stage. city and all that good stuff.
You know? You had to slide that in, right? The guy who was, I mean, I am wowing the lady. Just like, let's not forget.
bringing people together too.
Okay. We will take it. In a lot of ways, though, you talk about the blueprint, and Jazzy Jeff talked about the blueprint. Blueprint as an artist, but it also sounds like you own that kind of blueprint as community. Like, do we need to see more people who have ascended to that level and have a platform use it to make our communities better?
Absolutely. I think, but I will say this, there's a lot of people out there doing the work, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we don't always hear about it. You know, hindsight 2020, we're not supposed to always hear about it. If the intention is to do the work, you know, you do the work. The work isn't to be done so that, you know, in the process you show somebody who's down and down on their luck, and you know what I mean? Like, right. It's still about, you know, a lot of the work that I've done, you know, realizing that in some cases it's very important. You might just be simply restoring somebody's dignity.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, doing the work is doing the work, and just being a light bearer and a servant, you know, which we're all here to be, and not so much for the pat on the back or the accolade, you know, just making sure we're doing it for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. And I think the social media society yeah. has changed that. And people forget that you can do the right thing without then putting it on your Instagram page. Like, everything isn't about, hey, look at me, I helped that person. You can still help them.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a lot about you. We've talked about your background. We've talked about your philanthropy. We've talked about the history of music, but you got more. I feel like you always got more new music. You got more new music that is out. Yeah. So what are we looking at now, like over the last couple of weeks to month?
Well, back in February, I put out my second installment of what you call Raheem Devon Presents, which I use that brand to showcase various producers, singers, songwriters, what have you, instrumentalists. You know, that project is collaborative. So the most recent project, Love Euphoria, which is out now, is a collaborative project between myself, KP from The Colleagues, some of my favorite producers out of Atlanta, Georgia, and saxophonist Vandell Andrew, who you know, both of these guys, I've befriended them, you know, via social media years ago, and we've kind of made a pact and been supporting one another, you know, each other's artistry since. So this is a, you know, opportunity more to showcase Vandell, more so than myself and you know, and KP. We just kind of just provide the bed, you know, the canvas for Vandell. You know, shout out to Guapale, who's featured on single Love Around the Clock, which is heating up and doing this thing. You know, and then people that want to check that out, is available for stream on all the DSPs. Again, it's called Love Euphoria. I'm wrapping up my 10th album. I've been working on it for some years now. And, you know, in term of that, I have an EP dropping this summer titled The Summer of Love, and a new single dropping this Friday on my birthday, you know, single's titled All Night. And, you know, if I had to describe the summer of love, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think the world could use a lot of love. You know, it's definitely an EP. This steamy, grown, man-ish, euphoric. definitely bound to set the mood for you, you know, for the summer. I'm also wrapping up a project with Kenny Dope Gonzalez from Masters of Work. Shout out to BBE. We have a project that's going to be coming out with the BBE label, who's distributed records for artists like Jazzy Jeff and Jay Dilla in the past, as well as various DJs and what have you. And I'm working on doing a vinyl series of music as well. I think the first installment of that is going to be the Marvin Gaye project that I'm wrapping up with Kenny Dope as well. And all I can tell you on that is that there is a Marvin Gaye project on the way, you know, and again, you know, it's about keeping the torch burning for, you know, the platforms that, you know, our legends have created for us to do so.
So we'll stay tuned for that. Man, I got to tell you, I'm now going to be looking for my opportunity to describe myself as steamy grown mannish. Like, I don't know how I'm going to figure out a way to slide that in there. But at some point, some conversation, I'm going to casually drop steamy grown mannish to describe myself like you just did.
Steamy grown mannish show, and I'm giving you adult talk.
See? Oh, that's why I do this show, man. I'm trying to learn. So those are things I can roll with. You're also on tour, like pretty much always. So we'll get the dates up. People can see you all over the place.
Yeah, continuously touring artists. Definitely, you know, look to the social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, too. You know, to check out where I'll be and you know, what we have going on this summer. Definitely, we're in the summer. Right now, we're on the leg of the summer of love. You know, and get ready for fall and the winter of love as well. And yeah, man, you know, again, when they call me the Love King, it's not just speaking to intimacy, right? It's really just being, you know, being a light bearer for love and connecting people and connecting with my people and, you know, reminding people why we do this, you know?
We end every show, half an hour goes so quickly. We end every show on The Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. I feel like that kind of describes a lot of things that you're doing, but that's how we wrap. So when you hear use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
It means being the light. It means being a voice for change. It means being a voice for intimacy and bringing people together. You know, not just in the bedroom, but in, you know, social gatherings are so much more, I think, important to us now and matter so much more now, you know, being as though what we just experienced with the pandemic, the world is forever changed, you know? And I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, when we are on social media, it's two things that still that we can kind of take away from and walk away from that knowing is that the world is always in constant need of healing, right? But also there are things too that are gentle reminders constantly that the world is still a beautiful place, you know? And, you know, whether it's through the art form of, you know, my artistry, you know, yourself in media, the goal is the same, you know, to be a beacon of light and to just remind people, you know, every chance we get that the world is still a beautiful place.
Raheem Devon, I appreciate you coming on The Pulse, allowing us to share our joint steamy grown mannish conversation with people across the country. Thank you, man. I wish you continued success. We'll be checking out all the new music and check you out on tour.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Right. Peace and love.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Raheem Devon. I am not joking when I say that steamy grown mannish is going to become a regular part of my day-to-day conversation. People in the studio here laughing at me. That's real. I'm going to incorporate that into my day-to-day conversation. Not sure how. It could be a little bit of a fumble in the near future, but that is something that I'm going to work on. Do me a favor, click subscribe right at the top so every Monday you'll get a notification when another episode of The Pulse comes out. We certainly would appreciate that. Also, head over to YouTube. There are some great guests that you may not have been aware of. We've been on for a little over a year now, so there are plenty of people. Just do a search on YouTube, Pulse with Bill Anderson. I think you will find some great shows to check out. And I always love to hear from you on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. drop me a comment, a critique, some analysis, suggestions, whatever it is, I am happy to hear from you. I thank you for listening and leave you as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.